Well, I'm thankful that you are able to be with us at this evening hour of worship, first of all, and then of, again, a study of God's precious Word. I read four or five verses from 1 John, the third chapter, containing some very important information from our Heavenly Father. 1 John 3 and verse 4 beginning, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God." Well, how many of you have heard this old story? The little boy, for some reason, came to church services on his own. Now, I don't know where the rest of the family was, and I don't know why we should just choose that little boy, but that's the way the story goes. And the little chap, when he got home, was questioned by the folks that were at home. The older one said, "Well, what was the sermon about?" And he had a little puzzled look on his face, and he thought for a minute. He said, "Well," he said, "the preacher preached about sin." And the folks said, "Well, tell us about that. What did he have to say about sin?" And the little boy thought again, because he could not remember all of the points that were made. He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, he was against it." He was against it. That's the way that all of us should be. When it comes to thinking about the subject of sin, there should never be a person on earth that is in favor of sin, nor should they try to justify it or want to continue in the practice of sin. How should we feel about sin? Well, we should be against it. But do you know that the Scriptures are just replete from the very beginning, right on through God's book, telling us very, very clear reasons why you and I ought to be against sin. In our text that we have read, and it just seems to me, if there was only the one reason that anyone could give as to why we should be against sin, this would be it. Sin is of the devil. The devil, who is our enemy, who wants to see our destruction and is going to do everything in order that he may bring it about, he has a device that he uses, and that device is sin. Whenever the devil gets us to sin, you see, he's won. Whenever the devil gets you and me to sin, we've done exactly what he wants us to do. So verse 8, he who sins is of the devil. Oh, I don't want that to be said concerning me. We usually don't speak so plainly when an individual is taken over by sin. But the truth of the matter is revealed here in verse 8. If you sin, do you know who you belong to? You don't belong to God. You don't belong to His Son, Jesus Christ. Those motives and the things that led you to sin, they were from the devil. And so verse 8, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. He's never changed his stripes, so to speak. From the very beginning, what ought every man, woman, and child know about the devil? From the very beginning, he has been a sinner. From the very beginning, whenever one sins, that makes him a friend. That makes him an associate of the devil. But again, as we multiply our cause as to why we should be opposed to the devil, well, verse 4 says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Do you know what sin is? It isn't just some harmless little old thing laying out there kind of alluring you to pick it up and it won't do you a bit of harm. What is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is against the law. Oh, back in the old days of the good cowboys and the bad guys, we knew what outlaws were. And those outlaws, they were always going to get the punishment that came to them. What men and women today perhaps do not realize is that whenever you commit sin, whenever I commit sin, whenever I say something that I ought not to say, whenever I do something, oh, anything that is contrary to this revealed will of God, do you know what it is? It's against the law. Well, I would not want to be lawless. I would not want to be known among the protective services in this country as being a lawless individual, to have my name up on the placards and my picture, this is the outlaw. No, I would not want that to happen. But oh, that is true concerning the nature of sin. Whenever you sin, you break God's laws. You become lawless. Well, there is yet a third reason why we can very definitely say we ought to be against sin. As a matter of fact, I think I can intensify the feeling that we should have right now. We ought to be scared of sin. Because, do you know why? It is deceitful. It is tricky. It is that which the devil has used from the very beginning in order that he may deceive people. Now, what are we talking about deceit? Well, it's just as if the individual were blind as to what they are really being offered or what they are really going to do. But let's read at least one scripture. In 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, we read, and we know that this is God's natural order. Verse 13, 1 Timothy 2, For Adam was first formed and then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into the transgression. And oh, I think we could even call on our children that are present here and we could ask them, can you explain to us how Eve was deceived? And you would hear that little child say, well, yes, I know how she was tricked. Why, it was a matter of the devil lied to her first of all. And he said, why, you will not surely die. And the woman looked at the fruit of that tree. She saw that it was a delightful thing. It was pleasant to the eyes. It appealed to her taste buds. And above all, possibly, she said, it will make me wise. And none of those things happened. She was deceived. She was thoroughly deceived. Have you ever been tricked by the devil? Stop and think for a minute about some things that have happened in your life. Have you ever been tricked by the devil? Of where you thought, oh, now if I do this, you know, it's going to be so good. Just look, this can't be so very bad. This isn't really lawless. It'll be all right if I do that. I wish, well, there's no need in me talking that way. Suppose whenever the devil wants to tempt us to sin, that we look at that object and it's all full of thorns. Do you suppose any one of us would reach out and touch it? We would say, well, that's the ugliest thing I think I've ever looked at. There's no temptation for me, Mr. Devil. No, that isn't the way of it. Do you know what the devil has done about sin? He's made it fun. He's made it pleasurable. I think I would know that in my observance of people and things they have done. But you know, more to the point, I read about the great faith that Moses had. And he had, I think, a very difficult choice to make when it came to this matter of whether he would associate with the Israelites. Now, who were they? Oh, they're these slave people. Well, who in the world is going to want to associate with slave people? But over here, on this other hand, oh my. All of the riches, all of the splendor of Pharaoh's court. I don't know whether it is true or not. It has been speculated that if Moses had just kept his mouth shut, there may have been a time because, oh boy, he was a hero. There may have been a time whenever he would have become the ruler of Egypt itself. Can you imagine that? All of the splendor, all of the pomp, all of the riches. Well, boy, you could just sit back and relax, couldn't you? And so this is what we read about Moses in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer. I want you to notice these words in your Bible. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures of sin. Our King James translation, if I am correct, says, the pleasures of sin for a season. Sinfulness is pleasant. It is something, this deceit of the devil that I'm talking about. The things that have led people astray in religion, sometimes in idolatry, sometimes in the pomp and circumstance that is found in various churches and church buildings. But whether it's that or whether it is simply the choice that you make on Saturday night, the devil dresses it up. He puts it in such a pretty package, and the truth of the matter is that a person says, I want to do this because it will give me pleasure. I don't know whether you've noticed, kind of like what I said this morning, I don't know whether you're counting. But I have mentioned three or four things as to why we should be against the devil. But I want to reinforce that as we talk about what are the results of sin. Now, this is what really, really makes sin bad for you and me and why we ought to stay away from it. We become enemies of God. We've already noticed that it's lawlessness. We become the enemies of God. And yes, we can indeed go back to this writing in 1 John. I notice in the first chapter of 1 John, we're able to read this in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that is, with God, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and you know how that verse goes, what happens whenever we try to walk in darkness, when we try to walk in sin? Well, you can't walk with God if you are walking in darkness. And then John proceeds here in the second chapter for us. Verse 15, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, do you know what is the result? If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I wish that it were possible whenever we are tempted by the devil. I wish we could realize, you know, whenever that happens, and I give in to it, I'm separating myself from God. I'm not pleasing God. Oh, stronger than that, I am doing something that causes the anger, the displeasure of God because I have joined forces with the devil. Hebrews 11 told us that there's pleasure in sin. But you know, it's just for a little while. Now maybe you've heard that said, and maybe you have already gotten that information as you read about the passing pleasures of sin. Sin has never, ever made anybody happy for very long. Not for very long. I don't want to just pick on movie stars, but how many of those folks at an early age, and they have it all. They have it all. Tremendous talent, maybe as a singer. Tremendous talent as an actor. And what do with their lives? They make a mess out of them. They're not the only ones, but they make a complete mess out of their lives. Some of them commit suicide at such an early age. Maybe it's with drugs that they thought would give them some kind of momentary relief from all of the pressures that have been placed on. But whatever it may be, do you know the truth of the matter? Regardless of how attractive the devil makes sin for you, do you know that there is nothing here on earth that is beautiful that the devil does not ruin? He makes the beautiful ugly. Now that can be a relationship between a man and a woman. Love. Maybe even marriage. Do you know God, the devil, does not like harmonious homes? He wants those people to be tempted. He wants to draw the husband away from the wife. He wants to draw the wife away from the husband. I can hardly describe the heartache that takes place whenever there is unfaithfulness. Who does that? Well, you say the person did it. Yeah, they did. But it was sin. It was sin. How wonderful family is. How wonderful it is whenever we have children. How wonderful it is whenever those children live at home in harmony. And the devil intends to destroy that. Young folks, I hope you're all listening. He intends to make you angry. He intends to make you quarrelsome. He intends to make you a law breaker. He wants to destroy the harmony that is in the home. And as we've already said, it does not matter what beautiful talent you have. Do you have a beautiful voice? Do you have a beautiful face? Do you have some kind of ability as far as speaking is concerned? The devil wants to take that beautiful talent that you have, and he wants to turn it to something that is ugly. He wants to destroy you in the process, and he wants to destroy as many people who love you along the way. Crime, war, and brutality do not originate with God. You are so wrong whenever you say, "Why does God allow this to happen?" God is not the originator of those things. Whenever we read of all of these things that happen in our troubled world, we need to realize sin is involved. People, sometimes many of them, sometimes a nation, sometimes it is a matter of the devil has got a hold of them. And that is what has caused all of these things to happen. Sin brings punishment in this life. It may not be immediate, but you cannot sin with immunity. Again, all kinds of sin. Oh, we think of immorality most of all. We've been taught that it is wrong to lie, it is wrong to cheat, it is wrong to kill, it is wrong to swear, all of those things. But you know, really, whether it comes to our relationships at home, or whether it comes to this matter of saying, "I will submit my will to God when it comes as to how I will worship Him." How many of our dear friends, good neighbors, good people who say, "God does not care how I worship Him." Well, that's one of the strangest things I've ever heard. I don't worship my fellow man. It isn't a matter of my saying, "How will the person sitting next to me feel about my worship?" Worship, all true worship, is directed to God, to God. How dare I to allow the devil to say to me, "I can just do anything that I want in worshiping God. It gives me pleasure. It gives me pleasure." I think I've told some of you that I came out of the Christian church, and I really liked it. I was in the choir. I was a boy soprano, believe it or not. And, oh, I had the full rig. Oh, boy, I was in the limelight. It gave me pleasure. And whenever I first heard a preacher say, "There is no command in the New Testament Scriptures for instruments of music," I fought that fella. I didn't like him, I have to tell you. He later became my friend whenever I got some things straightened out. Don't let anybody ever tell you that instrumental music in worship is harmless, that it is not contrary, that it is not lawlessness. Oh, and all the rest of it. How do we know what is beautiful, what is pleasing to God? Well, His book tells us. Tells us how to sing, tells us how and when to partake of the Lord's Supper, tells us everything that we need to know. And all you and I need to do is just say, oh, like Samuel, "Speak, Lord, thy servant here. Who's going to rescue us from sin? All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. We tell others when we're talking to them about the gospel, you can't save yourself. Well, that's still true. You cannot rescue yourself from sin where God says, well, all right, you've turned over a new leaf now. Everything's going to be just fine. Almost used for Richard that word hunky-dory. But Richard thinks that's a strange word, so I won't use it, Richard. But nevertheless, if I start life anew, if it were true that I could overcome every sin and say, I'm never going to sin anymore, that will not forgive me. It can only be done through Christ. So I'm going to look back at 1 John 1 again, verse 8 beginning. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. The truth, His word, is not in us. My little children, chapter 2 and verse 1, these things I write to you so that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And that's the truth. That's the Word of God. That is the way in which we continue to cleanse ourselves as God's people. Let us be against sin. As God's people, let us determine that when Satan has tricked us, has deceived us, and we've fallen into that trap, that we will not abide in it, but that rather we will turn to the light of God's Word, and that we will be revived again. It's the only way. Now, for those who are present, that have not yet become Christians, prayer is not your prerogative, but rather Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Then, as one of His children, as you walk in the light, and there may be that occasion when you fail, you can ask His forgiveness. Is there one or more that would be obedient to the gospel tonight? Possibly a brother or sister in Christ that would like to return to the fold of safety. And we invite you, as CJ leads us in this good song, won't you come?